Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we will be talking with Brigadier General Sandy Best, check in with the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And joining me now is Brigadier General Sandy Best, who has served in the Minnesota National Guard for over 35 years. She's held a number of command positions, including a wartime rotation to Afghanistan. General Best serves as the Special Assistant to the Chief National Guard Bureau for Diversity. She advises and assists leaders across the 54 states and territories in institutionalizing diversity and inclusion in order to attract, recruit, and retain a quality, inclusive, and equitable workforce that reflects the communities the National Guard serves. General Best performs an additional state duty with Minnesota National Guard as Deputy Adjutant General. And General Best, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.
General, it sounds like you've got those two positions, one nationally and one here in the Minnesota National Guard. You're staying as busy as ever.
I sure am, yes.
logging a few miles and taking care of some things. General, can you tell us, you've been in the military for a while, and I think you were the first female to be a general officer here in Minnesota. Is that correct?
That is correct. And when I was promoted to be the Brigadier General, Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Air National Guard, when I was interviewed, I said, I might be the first, but I won't be the last. And I'm very proud to report that two female general officers have followed me shortly after I was promoted. Brigadier General Joanna Clyborn was promoted, and now she is a major general. And then we also have Brigadier General Steph Horvath.
Things have really changed in the last 4 years, General.
They sure have.
And all for the better, I hope. Ma'am, I want to talk a little bit about you serve as the Deputy Adjutant General for the Minnesota National Guard. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. I am the full-time officer with oversight for the Minnesota Air National Guard, both the 133rd Airlift Wing here in the Twin Cities and the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, Minnesota. And then I also serve on the Adjutant General's Command Group staff and operate in his absence if he is TDY or out of the office.
In general, we've learned over the past few years with your help that both the 133rd and 148th are award-winning units, and they fly, the 133rd flies the C-130s, and the 148th has the F-16s, and it's always fascinating to have those commanders on and tell us about all the great work they're doing.
Absolutely. Could not be more proud of our airmen in Minnesota doing their duties every single day, especially amidst the COVID-19 challenges and civil disturbance.
In general, we're lucky in Minnesota. We've got a facility up in Camp Ripley that allows the 130s to go up there and do some shoot and goes, and I'm sure the F-16s get over there. That's a great facility to have here in Minnesota, isn't it?
It sure is, both for the F-16s and for the C-130s, yes. Invaluable.
Well, ma'am, I want to talk a little bit about your other position where you serve as a Special Assistant to the Chief National Guard Bureau for Diversity. How long have you been doing that now, ma'am?
I have been doing that just over a year and will serve. It's a two-year assignment, and I will serve in that position through March of 2021.
Now, General, is that a position where you're working with the National Guard all across the nation?
Yes, it is. I serve at, it's a part-time duty, but a little bit more than the average part-time. And I serve about 140 days a year in that capacity. And it is working with all of the states. We're broke down as a National Guard by 7 regions. So we have what is called a Joint Diversity Executive Council that serves as an advisory body for the Chief of the National Guard Bureaus on all matters that are associated with advancing and advocating for diversity and inclusion and equity.
Now, General, we've been talking about that on this radio show for the last 10 years, and what I've come to learn is that diversity and inclusion in Minnesota means that we want the makeup, the people that are our members of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, to reflect the people that live here in Minnesota. Is that the type of the same type of thing you're trying to do across the country?
That is absolutely what we're trying to do, and I believe that I was selected for this position because of the great work that we have been doing here in the Minnesota National Guard, Army, and Air. One of the things that I'm most proud of, and it's not because of me, it's because of the great soldiers and airmen that we have working with us, but we have 10 years ago, we were at 7-point-something% diversity, and currently we, over the past 10 years, are at roughly 18% diversity among our force.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio. In general, things have changed a lot since I got back from Vietnam, but the percentage of women that serve in the military today is a huge number compared to what it was when I served.
That is a growing number, and where we have 50% of our state population, we're not there yet, but we continue to make progress in women in service as well. And as we've been talking about, you know, growing and advancing to general officers in our state, of course, there's many other in-betweens that have been realized and firsts, breaking barriers for all those that follow, just like women did before my time.
So, General, is the Department of Defense taking some real action to address racial disparities and ensure that all of our service members have the same opportunities within the forces?
Yes, they are. The Secretary, it's starting with the Secretary of Defense, who stood up a diversity board. And we also have the service components following suit. The Secretary of the Air Force, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force has stood up a diversity and inclusion task force. And the Department of the Army has also stood up a project inclusion task force to get after these very important issues.
In general, as you know, we've had disturbances all over the country for the last couple of months. Has that changed anything with your national role as Special Assistant to the Chief of National Guard Bureau on Diversity and Inclusion?
Well, it certainly has given more attention to it. There's no question about that. And it really hasn't changed what I do, although it's been very busy with the startup of these task force and soliciting individual to serve on these communities. The Chief of the National Guard Bureau has made very clear that he wants National Guard presence in every one of these areas. And so we have worked really hard to ensure that that is happening, and I'm proud to report it is.
Thank you, ma'am. General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about both of your roles on a federal basis and here in Minnesota. We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Brigadier General Sandy Best, who is the Special Assistant to the Chief National Guard Bureau for Diversity and Inclusion and a Deputy Adjutant General for the Minnesota National Guard. And, ma'am, we were talking about all the things that have happened here in 2020, and your position of, as I see it, I'm not going to put these words in your mouth, but Minnesota's done a pretty good job with diversity over the last decade, and so they called upon you to go out there and help all of the other Guard units across the country to emulate what's going on here in Minnesota. Is that a fair statement, ma'am?
I think that's very accurate. Yes, thank you. And it doesn't mean that we think we're perfect. We've got more work here to do in Minnesota. But yes, I think that they can model some of the things that we're doing, and we can continue to get better as well.
Well, in general, we've been talking about for years with the Yellow Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program and Minnesota Military Family Foundation and so many of the organizations in Minnesota. Minnesota seems to lead the way on a lot of these things. And I know a lot of the other states were probably asking you about the Yellow Ribbon program in this new position as well.
Absolutely, yes. The Yellow Ribbon program, and a lot, you're spot on, both the Air and the Army National Guard and the great things that our soldiers and airmen are, and civilians are doing here in Minnesota, and our programs can be modeled and used in other states as well.
And, ma'am, it seems pretty important today. We've got soldiers over in the Middle East, the ECABs over there, and we've got soldiers over in the Horn of Africa. We've got soldiers out at the NTC, and all of their families are back home sacrificing as well. So it's encouraging for me to know that we've got all of these organizations here watching their backs and taking care of the families while your troops are deployed all over the world.
Yes, indeed. We are very blessed to have all these supporting organizations for the Minnesota National Guard and the other service members that operate in Minnesota.
General Best, as we've talked to you, are the Special Assistants of the Chief National Guard Bureau, excuse me, and the Deputy Adjutant General. And I understand the Minnesota National Guard released a report on sexual assault prevention and response programs and statistics for the last 6 years. Can you share some of the information on that with us? And I'm wondering how that was received by the community from inside the National Guard.
I sure can. This was a report that the Adjutant General asked a body of individuals to pull together and look at what we were doing well and what we needed to improve upon, with the number one priority of making improvements in our culture and getting after sexual assault in the military. He wanted to make sure that everyone that serves in the Minnesota and all the citizens of Minnesota know how seriously the Minnesota National Guard takes this matter.
And, ma'am, I saw that General Jensen made a statement on that and released some information over the last few weeks. And from a civilian standpoint, from an observer standpoint, seems to me like he put out a pretty strong statement that there's no room for this type of activity within the Minnesota National Guard.
That is accurate. And he also has made a statement that although it starts with leadership at the top, him, it requires every member of our force to be a part of this, to include the leadership. And this report was not only released to our soldiers and airmen that serve in the Minnesota National Guard, but it was also released to our congressional leaders and the citizens of Minnesota.
Seems to me, ma'am, that every soldier, every airman needs to be aware of this and to demonstrate to all of the other troops that this is not something that we're going to is acceptable in the Minnesota National Guard.
That is correct. Zero tolerance. And then there are instances still where individuals have had trauma from years past or even on the civilian side. And so the other message is care for anyone who has had any type of sexual assault, that we will provide the appropriate resources and the support necessary to help these people on the journey to get well.
So if you've experienced that, don't hide it. Step forward. Get some help. Let's deal with it, and let's move forward as best we can.
Yes, and that anybody that would attempt that kind of behavior in the Minnesota National Guard will be held accountable.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio. General, I understand that you've been in charge of the Minnesota National Guard's COVID-19 response. Now, this has been quite a year, 2020. You've got troops and airmen going all over the place, and you've got an extra layer that you have to deal with, the coronavirus. How's that going?
Well, we have been performing two primary missions in support of Governor Walz combating COVID-19. And the first one is performing testing at long-term care facilities for our vulnerable adults. And so that's one mission that is going on. The second mission is performing warehouse operations, and both of these missions are in support of Minnesota Department of Health, and that we are, I just yesterday heard a shout out from the commissioner that is managing the warehouse operations to say that she had recently toured and it is the best scene to date since this operation began.
So you're making progress, and of course we've seen as our troops deployed that they have to go up to Camp Ripley and test and make sure everybody is clear of the COVID and deal with that. Just another layer of training and education to keep your troops safe.
Absolutely. As the folks left for NTC, they were tested and to ensure that they were safe while performing their training. And then after we completed our state active duty, 100% of our troops were also tested to ensure that when they went back to their families or their work, that they would be free of COVID-19.
General, I want to just follow up on the air side for a moment. We're always talking about the Army National Guard, it seems like, but the 133rd and the 148th, They've had great current versions of the C-130 and the F-16s. Is there any update? Are we going to get new C-130s? Are we going to get the F-35s? I'm sure that's something that you're working on all the time.
That is something we are working on all of the time, and we have tremendous support from our congressional leaders and Governor Walz, and we continue those efforts. I wish I was able to report yes to both of those, but we continue efforts to ensure the future of the Minnesota Air National Guard weapon systems, no question about it.
Very good, ma'am. We've got about a minute left. I'm wondering, there's young ladies listening to the show all over Minnesota, and if they were interested in a career in the military, what would you have to say to them?
I would say that it was one of the best decisions that I've made in my life, not only for the educational opportunities and certainly the experiences that I have had the opportunity to explore, but for the great men and women that you get to serve with. And I would highly encourage them to take a look. If they're thinking about it, take a look. We'd love to have you.
General, I know you're very busy with all the things you're doing in the Guard, and we'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and all the best to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
That was Brigadier General Sandy Best. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of members of the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment here, we're going to talk with two officers from the Minnesota National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Did you know that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is not part of the federal VA? We are a separate state organization dedicated to helping veterans and their families navigate the complex federal VA system and provide quality health care to our state's heroes. Over many years, MDVA has built a strong and collaborative partnership with the Minnesota Veterans Affairs health care system. I am proud to share our collaboration has resulted in several successes. Here are a few to highlight. To better support our veterans, MDVA has an outreach office located at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, where the MDVA staff provide direct assistance to veterans and family members regarding their state and federal veterans benefits. Another success is our partnership on reducing veteran homelessness in the state. We also collaborated with the Minneapolis VA to create an on-site dental clinic at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Minneapolis, which has been a great success. We are confident that our future collaboration will continue to provide great benefits for all of Minnesota's veterans.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Major Christopher Bingham, the Executive Officer for the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion, and Lieutenant Paul Ospie, Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be on.
Thanks for having us, sir.
Major Bingham, I want to talk to you first. Can you tell us how long you've been in the military?
I've been in for just over 17 years. I enlisted in 2003 as a cavalry scout, and I was enlisted for a few years, and I went through the St. Cloud State ROTC program and commissioned as a second lieutenant in 2006. Since that time, I've served basically a wide variety of roles. Most of my time up in Brainerd with one of the 194 Combined Arms Battalion, all the way from a platoon leader up through the executive officer for that battalion. And then I've done some time at the Joint Forces Headquarters as the operations officer for the Director of Logistics. And then recently just came back from a deployment with 34th ID as the strategic planner in the plan section, and now for about the last 9 months I've been working for the Recruiting and Retention Battalion as their executive officer. So been able to do a wide variety of different jobs in the state of Minnesota here with the Army National Guard, and really enjoyed my time so far.
Very good, sir. And Lieutenant Ospie, can you tell us how long have you been in the military?
Just hitting 19 years here, coming up pretty soon. Came back in, started out in 2001 with active duty. I was with 3rd Infantry Division up until 2006. I did several deployments with them to Kuwait and Iraq. I got out in 06, decided I wanted to go to college, but wanted to continue to serve, so I contacted the local Army right up the street from where I grew up, which was West St. Paul Army with the 2135, and they brought me in there. So I served as a team leader and a squad leader with them for a number of years, two more deployments with them. And then I picked up my commission in 2016 and been second lieutenant up at 2136, and then made first lieutenant there as well. Served as an infantry PL, armor platoon leader, and the battalion mortar platoon leaders. And then now I'm here very with good. The RRB, working for them as an officer recruiter.
Very good, sir. A lot of good experience in there. And Major, I want to come to you. Can you tell us, you're the executive officer of the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. What does executive officer mean for an old Air Force guy like me that doesn't understand the Army side?
Essentially, I'm the second in command. I report directly to the battalion commander, but in his absence, I would take command of the battalion. And my normal duties and responsibilities basically consist of running the battalion staff. So all the different staff sections that work, for the commander, and then in the recruiting retention specific in our battalion, essentially what we try to do is alleviate any kind of friction or make our recruiters out in the field more successful and give them the ability to do their jobs as little restraint as possible. And so essentially, as I'm in charge of the staff, we just essentially do the military decision-making process for the battalion commander on whatever potential issue might be and provide him options and give him recommendations so that he can do his job effectively and do what's best for the organization.
And, Major, we've had the Recruiting and Retention Battalion on before, and I know that there's three areas that they work on. You need to bring in some soldiers, you need to recruit some warrant officers, and then, of course, there's officer recruiting. And both you and the lieutenant, I think, arrived at as an officer in different routes. I believe you said, Major, that you were ROTC?
Yep, that's correct.
Other than ROTC, how can a person become an officer in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Oh, there's two different programs. So, the route I went through is an ROTC. There's a number of colleges within the state of Minnesota that offer Army ROTC programs. Otherwise, you can go through what's called the Officer Candidate School, and there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can join the National Guard, enlist, go to basic training as an officer candidate, and immediately once you complete basic training, go to what's called Federal Officer Candidate School down at Fort Benning, Georgia. Otherwise, you can go through an accelerated course if you're already serving in the Minnesota National Guard, if you're an enlisted soldier, through either Alabama or South Dakota. Otherwise, the state of Minnesota, our regional training institute up at Camp Ripley, offers a state-run officer candidate school, which takes about 18 months to get through the entire program, but then at the end of the day, you are still a commissioned officer. So Essentially, the two routes are either ROTC or OCS, and then within OCS, there's a number of different avenues that way. And then for a select few that meet specific requirements, there is a direct commissioning option for those that are NCOs or non-commissioned officers already serving in the Minnesota National Guard, to where they can directly commission if they meet all the prerequisites. And I believe Lieutenant Osby can probably give you a little bit more of the details since that's kind of his forte.
Lieutenant, I was just going to come to you and ask you about that. I think you came to be an officer in a different route. You were a staff sergeant, and you were enlisted for many years. Can you tell us how you became an officer?
Absolutely. So I ended up taking the state OCS program, the one that the major was talking about 18 months. So it starts out with a two-week annual training period in the summer, typically June. Then you would drill 2 to 3 days a month, once a month, all the way up to the following summer. And there's another two-week period held out at Fort Lewis. And then you come back from that. We take your certificate and we put it in and commission you as an officer. So that route worked the best for me. I had a family and two young children at the time. I was wrapping up the tail end of a bachelor's degree with a state program. You only need 90 college credits to start. So it was a good fit for myself, my family, and what I was doing at the time. So it worked out well, and it seems to be a good choice and good fit if that's your situation.
Now, Lieutenant, did it have any bearing on that decision that you knew how to drive a tank and you probably didn't break one?
Well, driving a tank, yes. Should I? No. It's on my military driver's license. I'd probably need a high-speed NCO to give me a little crash course and some learning again to get back in one country. But, yeah, I did. I did get qualified to drive an Abrams down at Armor Bullet School, or Armor Basic Officer Leaders Course at Fort Benning when I attended. So
we're speaking with Major Christopher Bingham and Lieutenant Paul Osby from the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion on Minnesota Military Radio. Major, how is recruiting this year? It's been a crazy year with the coronavirus and lots of things going on. And, of course, we got soldiers in the Middle East. We got them in the Horn of Africa. We got them out in the Mojave Desert. It's a busy year. How does that impact your recruiting?
Well, Tom, you know, it's been a very interesting year. You know, for me personally, I joined the Recruiting Retention Battalion back in October, so I don't know anything other than the challenges that we've seen this year. And obviously with the COVID-19 pandemic and the civil unrest, it has caused recruiting to overcome some significant challenges, you know, specifically speaking in the realm of COVID-19. You know, when you can't physically interact with potential recruits and go out and meet them or conduct events and activities where you can get in front of a broad group, so it makes it a bit more challenging. And so our recruiters have gotten very adept at using various forms of social media and virtual recruiting techniques. And so, you know, ultimately it's been a slight road bump for us, but we're working through it, and we're starting to see some pretty good results as a result of the efforts of our recruiters throughout the state. And I think, you know, when hopefully this is all said and done, you know, our recruiters will be just that much more proficient because now they've all expanded their skill sets, particularly in the virtual and digital worlds, to maybe where they hadn't needed to use those resources in the past.
Very good, sir. A few obstacles won't stop our Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers from getting the job done. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Major Christopher Bingham, Executive Officer of the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion, and Lieutenant Paul Osby, who is an officer recruiting for the Retention Battalion. And Major, I want to just ask you, I'm sure that from time to time, your focus of the jobs that you're trying to fill in the Minnesota Army National Guard changed somewhat. Can you tell us what's hot? What do you really need right now?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. So, like you said, this does change, you know, throughout the year based on the needs of the organization. But we do have a number of military occupational specialties that we're looking to fill that are kind of high demand or are low density. So, meaning that there's just not a lot of them within the Minnesota National Guard, and the requirements to become one are a bit more stringent. But, you know, we have needs right now for everything from a mortarman, so running 120-millimeter mortars, to a cavalry scout, an artilleryman, cannon crewman, fire support control, NCO signal, NCOs, and then all the way down the spectrum to transportation specialists, fuelers, and cooks, Blackhawk mechanic, Bradley mechanics, if you're into the hands-on stuff, the generator mechanics, and then for those that might be a little more technical or cerebral, you know, geospatial intelligence analysts. So we run the gamut on kind of the needs of the organization right now, from your typical infantryman almost all the way to those a little bit more high-level analytic-type positions. And with each of the ones I've mentioned right now, the Minnesota Army National Guard is offering a $20,000 bonus for enlistments for those specific particular military occupational specialties. And, you know, some of them, they're throughout the entire state. Some of them are a little bit more localized and isolated, but they all, for us as an organization, we have a great need to get those filled so that we can do our jobs across the organization.
So, Major, to oversimplify, you're saying you've got an opportunity for young men and women to come out and shoot weapons and learn how to do things on some really great equipment, and you're going to give them a bonus for signing up to boot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the great thing about the National Guard, Tom, is the fact, like, whatever your civilian job might be, you can probably find something that aligns pretty close to that, or you can do something 180 degrees in the other direction. If you're an accountant working in an office 5 days a week, well, on the weekends, you can come drive a tank, fly a Blackhawk, shoot mortars, you know, go a totally different route, or you can realign and do something that aligns a bit more with what you do in the civilian sector. So it gives you a whole wide variety of opportunities and options, and we'll pay you to do it.
And make some great new friends along the way. Lieutenant Aspie, I want to come to you. I understand you're an officer recruiting. Are there specific needs that you need in the officer ranks, or how do you go about focusing there?
Well, Tom, the way we get our direction back from the state, but I can definitely tell you what our high needs are right now. They kind of align sort of to the enlisted side almost, because our state is heavily into the combined arms. You know, armor, infantry, field artillery officers are in high need. All those things require quite a large logistical footprint, so any sort of logistical officer, so quartermaster, transportation, or ordnance are all also in high demand. We've also are standing up our air defense branch again, so that is an up-and-coming branch in the state as well. So there's a lot of opportunity, both combat arm side and non, to get high needs and get in here and be an officer in the state. And we always still make intelligence officers and some of the military intelligence officers and some of the more obscure ones as well. But combat arms and logistics are some of our heavy hitters that we're looking for.
So, Lieutenant, if someone wanted to become an officer in the Minnesota Army National Guard, how do they start the process?
Well, the first thing you can do is you can call me. I'll give you my cell phone number. I will direct you either if you're a civilian and you're off the street and you don't, I can direct you to a recruiter in an area. I work with that recruiter to get you through the process, through basic training all the way out till you're done. If you're a current serving soldier, still give me a call. And then you probably want to have a sit-down talk with your commander and talk about that, because you will need their blessing to attend. But either way, start with me, and I can give you the guidance needed to get you started off in the right direction.
Very good, and we can find all of the connections for that at the Minnesota National Guard. Major, I want to come back to you. We're just about out of time. You know, as they say, the Guard is always ready and always there. There's a federal and a state mission, and there's a lot of exciting things for our listeners to do if they want to join the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And if you've watched the news at all in the past 60 to 90 days, you've seen the Minnesota National Guard all over it in various missions domestically here and abroad, you know, with the COVID-19 fight, as well as some of the domestic disturbance that we did. And, you know, if anybody is interested in joining the Minnesota National Guard, you know, the nationalguard.com website is a great place to start, and it'll link you. Just follow the prompts right to Minnesota, and it'll put you right in contact with the recruiter. Otherwise, you can call 1-800-GO-GUARD, and that'll put you in contact with one of our recruiters. Otherwise, we have individuals at 53 armories and storefronts across the entire state, so chances are, wherever you live, there's not one too far away that you can physically go and visit and talk to. And despite the COVID-19 and everything, our recruiters are still out recruiting. They are in their recruiting offices. Granted, we are following all the CDC regulations, but they are are physically out there doing their job, so they're ready to talk to anybody who wants to.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
And for our listeners, remember 1-800-GO-GUARD. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Great to be back with you.
Director, as most of our listeners know, I'm a patient out there. I got a letter from you recently giving me the status of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We're talking about screening and face masks and receiving care and making sure that you don't want any walkouts unless it's urgent. They should call in. And then an update on COVID. It was a pretty nice letter to figure out what's going on at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Well,
it looks like you're trying
all,
to get
I'm
open
glad
for
you got
business.
Your letter, and secondly, that's the very reason why we wrote it. You know, because you know things are evolving and changing, and we're not back to the way we were before, but we're not quite like the way we started out during the COVID pandemic. And so that was really our purpose, was to communicate to veterans what they can expect when they get here and maybe some of the things they can do in preparation for either a phone visit or calling our call center or maybe just some of the ways that they can access their care.
Director, I thought it was interesting that on the second page of the letter there was an item for COVID-19 and that there's a COVID call center available Monday through Fridays related to COVID-19 symptoms. I'll bet that's pretty helpful for our veterans.
You know, what it allows veterans to do is to get in contact with someone who can give them some advice based on what they present to be their symptoms or their concerns, and then they can take it from there to either assure the veteran that they're okay, but if they experience maybe increased symptoms, maybe the next best thing to do. Or they can schedule them to see, or not schedule them, but actually get them to a nurse who can talk to them and go through some of their options with them. And if they think that the veteran needs to be seen, one of two things can happen. They can send that veteran over to the medical center and they would give us a heads up that they're coming, or they can make an arrangement for one of our doctors to make a more detailed assessment over the phone. So we're just trying to facilitate veterans' concerns and make sure that even if they don't come here, even if they don't need to come here, we realize that this whole COVID thing is very concerning to people, and maybe we can just respond to some of their questions, real time.
So one of the first things, and once again, sir, is for our veterans to call 612-467-1100 if they have any issues, and your folks will tell them how to take care of it in the most efficient manner.
And that's the call center, Tom. And so that number is available 24/7 too. So we have a nurse advice line, and that nurse advice line, and the after hours and on weekends, it's actually managed at a place in Dayton, Ohio, that has a large nurse call center. But you know that number is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so weekends, after hours, veterans have concerns, if they have questions, that's a good number to call.
And again, sir, we've talked about using My Health eVet. I use it all the time. I know you use it, and they can call and sign up for that. And I understand there's another issue you want to talk about, vet text.
Yeah, so vet text, if you think of it, guys maybe younger than you and me, Tom, who are accustomed to a different way of doing their work, this allows veterans to text the call center and get and access these same options and request sort of a real-time exchange. It's not quite a chat, but it's kind of like that, you know, where veterans can access the call center. The other thing it does is that they can communicate with their care team. And so one of the ways we've been using it, you know, veterans can let us know that they're here, and once they're here, we can text them to say, okay, it'd be a good time for you to come into the hospital now when your doctor's sort of in effect ready to see you. So come on in and we will take care of your needs. So it's just another tool, extension maybe the telephone, but a way that many of our veterans are accustomed, our younger veterans particularly, are accustomed to doing their communication. And so that's just, it's intended to give them that option and really just one more tool.
And, Director, is there a new COVID screening?
We are still screening when veterans come into the medical center. You know, some of the screening criteria have grown or expanded or changed. You know, you may remember, Tom, during the early days, have you traveled overseas in the last 14 days? And several of the questions that were the original three questions have grown now that we've become more skilled in maybe some of the symptoms that have resulted in COVID for patients. And so they can. There are maybe now 7 or 8 questions that you can use. And one of the ways, again, that people can use this vet text is that they can access this screening questionnaire prior to arriving at the hospital, and they can get, if they answer negatively to all the questions, they'll get effectively a green light then to come up to the screeners and show them, I have just screened, and I have screened negative, and so we then let them in, and they can go to their appointment. So it just keeps the line moving, keeps them processing through to their appointment.
Very good, sir. I know you wanted to talk about the VA and the Mayo contract, sir.
Tom, for years, as long as I've been here, 7 years and well beyond, you know, we have been working to get Mayo into our community care network. And so, you know, for a variety of reasons, we have not been able to make that happen. We have now successfully achieved that partnership. And so on the 1st of August, you know, Mayo has agreed to be one of our community care network partners. This is going to apply all throughout southern Minnesota. You know, St. James, Mankato, Eberly, all those places have a presence for Mayo, as do many other small communities. Veterans can access those sites. You know, the one limitation is that for the Destination Medical Center for Rochester, for the big dog, you still require, we will have a referral and a referral process for those very difficult to diagnose patients who really need to go to Rochester Mayo and can't get their needs through the University of Minnesota or other locations. But it is a monumental success, really, and attributable to congressional work, service organizations, county veteran service officers. Many, many people have been involved in this for many, many years, and it is something that, you know, I really wasn't sure where I was going to see during my day. So I'm really pleased with that. I'm happy to have Mayo. People love going to Mayo. We're gonna have a very fruitful long-term relationship with them, I believe.
Another great partnership, sir. I want to thank you for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom, and stay safe.
Yes, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I would like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General Sandy Best, Major Christopher Bingham, Lieutenant Paul Osby, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please join us next week as we talk about the disabled American veterans of Minnesota and meet a Gold Star son who now represents Minnesota in Congress. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.